Welcome to the podcast, hosted by the Journal of Healthcare Contracting. And now, our host, publisher Scott Adams.
Hello, everyone. Scott Adams with the Journal of Healthcare Contracting. I want to start out right out of the box thanking McKesson for sponsoring this podcast with Centura Health. Today, I have Karen Ryan on with me, and she is the category project manager at Centura Health. And we are talking today about how Centura Health's non-acute facilities are expanding and supply chain's responsibility with that, as well as collaborating, you know, between their non-acute care supply chain distribution and also all critical access within that continuum. If you are a health system that has non-acute facilities, this 15, 20 minute podcast is for you. A lot of great information from a great health system in the Colorado area and some of the things that they've seen. They have about 330 clinics, which blows my mind. And in the COVID year last year, they opened 35 new clinics. So they are consistently expanding. So some great information here. Karen is very easy to listen to, and you're going to get a lot out of this podcast. So here we go with Karen Ryan from Centura Health. Karen, thank you so much for joining us on this Journal of Healthcare Contracting podcast sponsored by McKesson. I'm excited to have this conversation with you. This is my third or fourth one in the last several months with supply chain folks and just talking about the importance of ambulatory care, alternate site within the health system. And so thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
As we get started, I'm going to just kind of pepper you with some questions throughout the day, have a good conversation here for the listeners. Most of the audience that will be listening to this podcast will be other healthcare supply chain folks, just like yourself, that are out doing everyday good work for the health of Americans across the country. But I'll start out with a simple one for you. You know, your supply chain team, is in a constant transition at Centura, with new locations opening, specialties being added, even to existing locations. And obviously turnover happens, the list goes on and on. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, these transitions and how you support patients across the non-acute care continuum when you're going through so much change?
Of course, happy to. Our team supports 330 plus clinics across Colorado and Kansas. We're a very small team, so we may operate a little differently than other non-acute supply chains. You're right. Our clinic transitions, we are on perpetual motion. We are constantly adding, moving, expanding different clinics. My role in that is I support all transitions from the planning phase through 2 months past go live. I create and manage our group purchasing organizations, our Loss and McKesson pharmacy accounts. I manage the DEAs, the transition contracts, and purchase service agreements, just to give you a little bit of what I do. We partner, the way our partnership is set up with our distributor is key to our ability to support our clinics at Centura. We have a wide range of needs, and as I said before, we have a lot of clinics. We also have some challenging areas, the mountain areas. They operate uniquely in our system. They're open all year round. We have a lot of winter delays, delivery issues, winter storms, which create some challenges. We support our patients through direct delivery of supplies, streamlined formulary that our team maintains, and additional services for special clinics. So we will work uniquely with our distributor. They actually sit with us at our office. That way we are able to work through any issues that arise in real time and work through everything, through sourcing, back orders, anything in that area. And we collaborate on everything every day as issues come up. So it's been a great working relationship.
Yeah, I'm gonna get you to give me a little bit of a definition here, but wow, that's a lot of hats that you're wearing on a daily basis. So it's nice for you to have a distributor. I didn't know that they were on site with you. That's got to be a big help for you guys.
Yes, actually, when we set it up intentionally that way, as opposed to having reps in the field, we set up intentionally. Particularly, I would speak to my transition projects. We do not just our pharmacy MedSurg with those projects. Our distributor rep works directly with our capital equipment request per project. So given that I'm project-based, we work through a lot of irons on delivery issues, delivery timing, different things like that, and working and sitting next to one another and being able to collaborate on all those issues and DEA issues that come up when setting up accounts is tremendously helpful.
Wow. Let me get you define transition consolidating and what that actually means, you know, and I want you to kind of do it through the lens of, you know, what are some of the lead drivers for transition and how's that different than last year? And are you guys trying to expand, you know, urgent care acquisitions or into more space?
Okay. Well,
a lot of questions. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all good. It's all true. So, Centura Transitions, we use that term for any of our new, moving, expanding, consolidating, closing, and acquisitions. We are very, very busy here. Our consolidating model is interesting in that is, it's a new model we've seen where clinics are relocating into a new space. And what they do is they share spaces, combine some of the areas. For example, like a front desk registration, supply spaces, break rooms, things like that. We're finding that this reduces total overhead costs for clinic space as well as vendor costs. So that's a consolidating model. Our lead driver in clinic transitions is really our patient needs. And to give you guys just a little bit of background in Colorado, which I think is unique, in Colorado alone, our population has increased 14.5% over the last decade. And that's one of the largest, highest increases in the U.S. currently. So we have more patients, we need more providers and clinics to basically just handle the influx of people. We are leading our growth here at Centura, our real estate and development team. Give you a little bit of background. Last year in transitions was a record year, even with COVID. We added 32 new clinics, and that obviously is not accounting our consolidating, expanding, or moving clinics. That's just new clinics alone. In the future, this year specifically, each year is a little different, but this year we're more concentrated on moving clinics into larger expanded spaces, like I said, with a population growth and that consolidating model I spoke to. We're also not as much, but we're also getting very lean or consolidating some of our lines and some of the things we no longer want to be involved with. We are shedding those clinics, selling some of those models off as well. In the future, we are looking to expand in a few areas. Primary care, family medicine, that's probably big. Orthopedics, oncology, and other specialty locations. That's sort of future looking.
35 new clinics alone is a lot to swallow, let alone during a pandemic. That's impressive. I want to drill down a little bit into that and talk about some of your external partners, but also internal. And, you know, what does success look like for you guys as you collaborate across teams? You know, in other words, can you kind of describe for me, you know, the collaboration that you guys have in multiple disciplines and teams clinically, operationally, financially, you know, and what role does supply chain bring in the process of improving all of that?
Of course. I honestly feel in the role that I am in, collaboration is what keeps us together, is what keeps it's sort of the glue that holds us all together. On a weekly basis, I will collaborate with our lab, accounts payable, finance, IT, biomed, contracting, regulatory, patient safety facilities. I could go on and on. I mean, that is truly what needs to happen in my role. I do think it's really important that we work with departments, because what I started realizing when I started in this role 2 years ago, how it was impacting other departments and downstream processes. This is, for example, if you take a vendor contract, if it is our group purchasing organization, if I don't have that set up correctly, including the DEA information, it affects price, it affects billing errors, it will affect issues with accounts payable, it will affect issues with our distributor McKesson. It affects so many people downstream, and I feel like until you drill down to it and you start to see how what your job role does and job does and how it affects other teams, you're really missing something. So collaboration is key down to everything. And I think that better understanding this information better helps our team as well as other teams improve their processes. And just we all learn working across departments how that interaction is so key.
Karen, if you would, I know I asked a lot in that question. There was one piece in there that because I asked you like four questions in one, I need to get better at my interviewing. What talk a little bit for us on the collaboration with your external partners?
Of course, I definitely feel that collaboration with our external partners is just as important as our internal partners. This has been even more true since COVID. Our external partners with COVID are experiencing driver shortages, reduction in employees, supply delays due to rolling back orders of different supplies. They're not as nimble as they used to be. And be able to work with them and partner with them when problems arise is key to getting the clinics the services that they need in the time that they need them. And I'll have vendors that will reach out to me and say, I don't have drivers to deliver this today. How can we handle this? Are there clinics that we can push to next week? What can we do? And I think that really helps. I can look at it, review it, see where we can push things, where we can partner. So it is tantamount to working together and building those relationships. And I talk to my external partners every single week. So those relationships are extremely important.
Yeah, as you mentioned, the external partners there, and we do these podcasts regularly, but we can't do them without our external partners. And I wanted to personally just thank McKesson for sponsoring this podcast today. And I also wanted to give them a 30-second spot to be able to say a few words, but without sponsors like McKesson, we wouldn't be able to bring these on. So here's a few words from our sponsoring host.
From doctor's offices and surgery centers to long-term care facilities and patient homes, McKesson works with health systems to develop non-acute supply chain strategies that support better operational, clinical, and financial outcomes. We help you take control of your non-acute supply chain and deliver better results across your system. McKesson's commitment to excellence starts with our mission of improving healthcare in every setting. One product, one partner, one patient at a time. Take the next step in building a high-performing non-acute supply chain and take the lead in delivering high-quality patient care. Visit McKesson.com/take control.
So we're back from that commercial, and I want to follow up based off of, Karen, your answer that you just gave there. You know, what role does distribution play in supporting health systems in their processes of improving, your goals of improvement across the continuum? And then, you know, what about specifically to non-acute strategies?
Our partnership with our distributor plays a big role in our ability to get supplies and pharmaceuticals to the wide range of clinics that we have. Our different specialties, like we talked about, our different terrain and locations across our system. We're always looking for ways to streamline processes, save time and money. And working within our distributorship, with our distributor, their warehouse gives us, really helps us streamline those things. It gives us access to all our orders. That way we are able to see in real time back orders, hold DEA issues, any licensing, other issues. We can also see orders that are anything back ordered, the delayed shipping, different things like that. We are also able to pull reports ourselves, improve processes, and the biggest thing is make changes to our formulary and just make changes on the fly. We need to be that nimble. We're a very, very small team, and we don't have time to wait for people to get us that information. So that is key in our strategy.
Kind of given the role that you are in today, you know, I spent the majority of my career prior to getting into the publishing business on the alternate site side, the primary care, ambulatory care side. And I've been in the publishing side of it now for about, for going on 15 years. And about 8 or 9 years ago, when the Affordable Care Act came through and you started seeing systems buy up on a regular basis, physician offices, and get really diving in to owning physician level practices, just like you just named 330 clinics across your continuum. I wondered at what point, what would be the tipping point where we started seeing health systems put people in place like yourself to help manage that? Because growing up on that side, it's so different than the acute care side of supply chain. So kind of long-winded here, but here's my question for you. You know, you guys have been at doing this now at Centura Health System for about 8 years in the non-acute side. You know, what are the benefits of non-acute supply chain integration? And then more importantly, Karen, you know, what advice or recommendations would you give to other health systems out there that are looking to develop something similar to what you guys have done from a non-acute strategy?
For Centura, the benefits of having a non-acute supply chain is our ability to meet our varied clinic needs, the demands. Like I said, I know I keep talking about our mountain territory, but for example, our ski clinics are open October to April, and they see more patients in that time than many of our clinics will all year round. Their needs are very different. They need, they're ordering more frequently, their orders come in, they don't have a ton of space to store things. So that's one model that we need help with. We specialty needs another, you know, needs other supplies. We just need, like I said, we just need something that's very nimble that can address all those issues. In our distributor, the way it's set up, it works very, very well. Our ordering process needs to be semi-autonomous. We need the clinics, they place their own pharmacy and med-surg orders and vendors order each week, and then we're able to go in and troubleshoot it when problems arise. And whether that's durable medical equipment, pharmaceuticals, or vendor services, we need to be able to pivot quickly to keep up with the needs of the patient loads, as I explained, are very different in different areas. And having this non-acute supply chain specific to our clinic's needs, It's central, being able to make changes quickly to our formulary, replace discontinued supplies, and need to bring in larger quantities of supplies with COVID. This is just a very, very different model. It does not operate like a hospital model does. And so it's very key to have that. You asked about my advice. To build an effective non-acute strategy, I think for our needs personally, we needed to partner with a distributor that can support our growth and our future goals. For us at Centura, it was partnering with our 300 plus clinics in two states with the varying needs, the ability to track shipments, pull data, add and delete from our own formularies. More important is to partner with what I do is on the clinic transitions, that growth in capital equipment area. We not only have our distributor working just with our regular clinics, but our new growth in supporting those new clinics at the rate that we're adding them and expanding. Just to give you a little bit of background, our clinics have grown 26% in the last 2 years, and we expect that trend to continue. And we really needed a partner that not only delivered med-surg and pharmacy, but also, like I said, our larger equipment model. And they work on the staging. In other words, bringing all those things into a warehouse, putting them together per room, and then delivering to those new clinics as they go live. So it's an integral part of our team and how the model works for us. And this collaboration is tantamount to problem-solving issues. And like I said, being able to pivot quickly for our clinic's varied needs.
Yeah, as I look across the U.S., I don't know how health systems with a bunch of clinics don't have something like this in place at everyone. It's such a different animal managing the non-acute because everyone is so different. It's almost like a health system. You've seen one health system. They're all so different depending on the region. And my business partner, John Pritchard, and I talk all the time, healthcare is so local. And how you treat somebody in Colorado is probably very different than how they might treat someone in Florida. And the things that you guys see, for example, I'm flying out there tomorrow to ski. I hope, as much as I'm happy you have those ski clinics, I'm hoping I'm not in one in the next week. Try to keep myself healthy while I'm out there. But as we close here, and I thank you so much for your time today. I want you to kind of give us a little look into your crystal ball a little, if you can. You know, what does the future look like for Centura? And what I mean by that is, you know, when you're working on non-acute warehouses to support, you know, how are you working on cost savings, home health strategies, consumer markets, you know, kind of all of the above? What does that look like for you?
Well, we're looking in the future, and obviously, I think with a lot of health systems, COVID has kind of hijacked everybody's plans for the future, at least hopefully not for very much longer. A couple of years down the road, as we continue to grow in this non-acute space, we are looking at the possibility of a Centura-owned non-acute pharmacy and med-surg warehouse to support our clinics, as well as our special projects. It would be great to see them working with special projects and having a central location for staging for our new clinics. And we hope to do that with, and also cost of savings and initiatives through cost of savings and initiatives. The space will also serve as a central location for other items that we want to bring into it. Our team is also creating a centralized website. Like I said, they're semi-autonomous. For non-acute supply chain, pharmacy, equipment, lab. We're working to put all that in one area for our teams. We're hoping that will improve our clinic's experience and save time for the end user. Right now, everything's kind of in different areas, so we're really working diligently on that. We're excited about these new initiatives for our non-acute teams.
Karen, that was great information today. I enjoyed the conversation with you. I'm looking forward to hearing more about the pharmacy that you're talking about as that comes online. Please keep me in the loop on that. I'd love to come back and maybe do a follow-up kind of podcast with you around that to see the success of it. Kind of, obviously, whenever you put new stuff in like that, there's some growing pains and might be able to help the audience who's looking to do the same thing, avoid some of those things. So look forward to hearing that and all of the success. But again, thank you so much for the time today on the podcast with me.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. You have a great week.
You as well.
I just wanted to thank everybody for staying with us through the podcast. I thought there was a lot of great information that we got from Centura Health and Karen there, but more than anything, thank you, McKesson, for being our sponsor. And we look forward to doing more of these podcasts with you in the near future. Have a wonderful day.